Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Well, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. Alan here with you this morning, and I've got Trent with me. And we are coming up today on a year of us being together recording. It was a year ago that we put our first recording down, Trent. Can you believe that?
Man, time flies when you're having fun. And I've truly had a lot of fun doing this. And I hope that people listening have had a good time listening to us.
Yeah, I mean, at least if they have a hard time going to sleep, they've got something to help a little bit. But
that's right.
We have had a lot of fun over this last year. And as we were kind of looking at it, probably the most interesting podcast, at least from a download perspective, that we had over the first year, when people would go back and look at our list, it seems that every month people were going back and listening to episode number 10, The Coyote Principle. Or is it Coyote Principle? I guess we should settle this once and for all. Is it Coyote or is it Coyote?
Well, that's a good question. And so if you're a morning cartoon guy, you know, years ago you had the Roadrunner and Wile-E Coyote, right?
That's how I learned it.
That's right. So we're just going to go with that today. I don't know if it depends on where you live in the country, is if it's coyotes or coyotes. So anyway, we'll probably slip back and forth on that more than once.
Well, tell us a little bit, Trent, about what that principle is and what it's all about.
Well, Alan and I both live in places where there are coyotes. And I was visiting with one of our local game wardens and some of the guys here that hunt coyotes. And I learned some interesting things, is that, you know, when they're out in the field and at night, they sound like there's a whole bunch of them, 20, 30 of them. But the game warden and biologist have found that at the most there's 2 to 3 in a group. They just know how to sound like there's way more. And so we applied that principle to church life. And there are times when people come to you and say, a lot of people are saying, and it's usually just 2 or 3 that are saying. So we're going to talk about that today, Alan.
Yes. And, you know, I was talking with someone not long ago who was actually going through that very moment, that said, how do I deal with this when people are coming to me? Well, people are saying this. Mm-hmm. Well, it happens, and it's going to happen to everyone in ministry. You know, I brought this up as a conversation to my leadership team in my church, and they're like, well, who's saying something? I'm saying, no, we're just talking about a leadership dynamic that's going to happen from time to time, has happened from time to time. And there's not that there's anything going on, but we need to know how we're going to handle those situations. It's really important that we not get caught up so much in those moments, because people are saying is a very unique term that has, but it tends to carry more weight when we hear it than it probably should.
Absolutely, Alan, that it does carry more weight because we automatically believe it. We think that they're saying, oh yeah, lots of people. Well, and it may be, again, 2 or 3 people are saying, instead of, and the person that tells you that will almost always, they say that to say, it's not me really, but other people are saying. And so they're trying to put weight on their statement.
Well, and we don't want to completely just go back and redo episode 10, because we actually have that. We're going to put a link to that in today's podcast, so you can go back and listen to the original episode. And so we had several things, and one of those things was, just because someone tells you that doesn't make it true. We mentioned that it's usually not nearly as many people as you think. But then you also said something, though, that I think is really important, and it had to do with the ambush idea. Why is it that people, when they want to come to you with these little statements, well, people are saying this, they always do it at the world's worst time?
That is so true. And I don't know, you know, if they mean to be, I would say they probably don't mean to be used by Satan to disrupt worship and to take you off your task. But a lot of times people will come to you right before you're about to preach. And, you know, you've got your mind set on this message that God has given you, and they hit you with this thing, and that distracts you from what you're supposed to be doing. And so, yeah, that's, you just kind of, I don't know, you don't want to cloister yourself off right before you preach. I'm always visiting with people, but it makes you kind of, you know, a little bit gun shy during that time.
Well, and do you ever have yourself noticing too that there are just certain people you try to avoid before you get up and preach? Like, if anyone's going to say something weird to me, it's going to be this person. And so if I see them coming, I kind of go the other way, or I get really busy, or something like that.
Yeah.
There's always that one or two people like that, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And it is true. And so there have been times when I've asked somebody on my staff or somebody that I trust to say, hey, will you run interference for me? Because that, you know, there are some people that they've always got a complaint, always got something like that. And it's not that I don't want to listen to them, and I will try to find a time, another time to listen to them. But yeah, right before worship, man, that is tough on you. That is very hard.
I agree. Yeah, I do not like it when people catch me right before I'm about to get up and preach. And then we talked a little bit about how people should respond, and we kind of gave four things. A lot of those had to do with really being a good listener and using listening skills, like repeating back what you hear, mm-hmm. and, you know, saying things like, okay, I've heard you, and making sure that the person has understood at least that you heard them. In that, it doesn't mean that you have to do anything with it, but make sure that you are at least listening when people give you something like that. And that can be a challenge for us too, because our first thought is to be defensive, I think.
It is, Alan. And, you know, that's our natural thing is to kind of bow up. But you're right. And we tell this to couples all the time, you know, these listening skills that you mentioned, to be able to repeat back what you've heard is really important, and that helps to clarify. And it also, maybe for the first time, that person hears it said out loud outside of their own mouths, and hearing what you've heard or what you've heard them say. And again, we've said this several times on our podcast, is that most conflict goes away when somebody feels like they've been heard. And so this can not only clarify things, but it can also take away some conflict on the other person's part.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think you're going to hear more and more from us in podcasts, when we talk about whether it's change or anything that involves the communication side, which is a lot of what we do in ministry, it's that we have to grow in our listening skills. And for me, that's a struggle. I am quick to respond, and I'm not always as quick to listen as I should be. But that is a skill that always needs to be growing in each of our lives, because the better we listen, the more effective we are going to be when we communicate. And so we want to be good listeners in the process. Well, you know, when someone comes to us and says, people are saying, it's always dealing with something that is critical in nature, some form of criticism. And how do we deal with that? And, you know, again, we gave several ideas. One of them, and I want us to stop back on this one just for a little bit, is you don't always have to respond to it, right?
Yeah, Alan. I was at a pastor's conference just recently this past week, and you know, one of the pastors there, he reminded me that you don't have to swing at every pitch. You don't have to swing at those pitches in the dirt. And so sometimes, you know, we have in our notes that we can say to them, hey, I hear what you're saying, and I'll consider it, but doesn't mean that I necessarily need to deal with it.
I love that. I love that analogy, because there are just some things that aren't worth your time and effort and energy to really entertain. And people can come to you sometimes with things that are so small and so petty, you know, that it's just not worth your time and effort and energy. And yet we can take sometimes the most trivial things that people come to us and they keep us awake at night. And we just dwell on those things and really developing the skill to let some of those things just kind of roll off really is important. And that's a key to being an enduring leader. You've got to realize that you're going to put your effort and energy where it's really important, and you're not going to sweat the small stuff. And there's plenty of small stuff that some people just get wrapped up in, and you just can't let that be the case. But there does need to be wisdom. At times, we do need to evaluate some of the decisions we've made.
Yeah. And, you know, we need to put the godly part back in the conversation, because in our minds and in the person who's speaking to us, sometimes that doesn't even register, right? Because we get defensive and we get mad. And so asking them to stop and pray about that right now, I think you had put that in our notes, Alan. I think that is such a great, great thing, is to, hey, let's stop right now. Let's seek the Lord in this. And, you know, if they really care about that, if they really care about your church, that's going to be on their hearts, and they'll agree to do that with you instead of just manipulating you, moving you to what they want you to do. And so you had some great insight on that.
Well, and one of the other things we talk about too is sometimes there are people, and I want to come back to this one in just a little bit, but we need to make it easy for some people to leave. When they say the people are saying, you know, you don't have to go to church here. And we have that same attitude with our coaching at the high school where I coach a cross country and I coach track. You know, you don't have to run track here. You know, so many kids today have private coaches, and private coaches seem to want to undermine oftentimes what we're doing at the high school level. Well, you don't have to run track here. If we're not going to coach you the way you want to be coached, or it's not going to be the way you think it should be, you don't have to. And sometimes you have to make it easy for people to leave. At least they know they have a choice. And you have to do that every now and then. You know, make sure that your lay leaders know what's going on, and can be that you have someone you can go to in your ministry team to talk to about that. We also mentioned that you need to guard your conversations about those times when people come to you with that. Why is that important, Trent?
Well, there's, you know, being able to say to somebody, hey, this is, I want to listen to you, and let's talk at a different time, because if it does typically come right before worship, it really throws you, and it's hard for you to be speaking what the Lord has laid on your heart, because, you know, when I'm mad, I don't want to say things that are uplifting to my congregation. But what a lot of times, if we're defensive, we're going to start coming up with excuses instead of listening. And I'm really glad that you had made a point of encouraging our listening skills. We talk about pastors always need to work on their speaking skills, but I think that listening skills are 2 to 3 times more important for a pastor than speaking skills.
Well, it's certainly something that I'm trying to get better at, you know, because if I listen better, I realize that there's some things I just don't want to talk about, and I don't want to talk about them. I don't want to waste the time and effort and energy to give people who aren't big enough to come talk to you directly about something. I just don't want to give them more credit and more time than they deserve. So mm-hmm. I'd rather not do that. But, you know, we do have to be careful. Bitterness can come into our lives really easily, and we always have to be on the guard about that. And so those are some of the things. Yeah, go ahead, Trent.
I wanted to add in another thing. As I was at this pastor's conference recently, and another pastor just spoke into my heart big time. And I was telling him that, you know, about just going through a dry time in my life and dealing with heart surgery and so many other things. And he said to me some things that I think pastors need to hear, is that when we allow people to continually dump into our lives, we take it and we hold on to it. He said, it's kind of like you're driving your pickup and people are constantly dumping cement in the back. And then after a while, the weight just gets too much and it flattens your tires. And you can go and air up your tires, but you're not going to be able, that's not going to last, and you're not going to be able to really move forward until you get rid of some of that cement in the back. And so what you said, Alan, is true, is not taking those things and making them your own, not allowing that cement to be dumped in your truck. You know, and there are times when we've got to stop as pastors, we've got to stop and get some of that cement out of the back so that we can actually move forward.
And that's one of the parts. And I'll just tell you now, most people in your church will never get that. They will never understand how the role of ministry is different in that way. And that the burden of ministry, it's not that our job is physically demanding. It's not that the work in it of itself is so hard. It's the emotional toll of the things that you know that they take over time in your life. It just weighs you down. And at times you've got to go empty that out. And that is great wisdom. That's some great advice. Well, we want to add a little bit in here, and this isn't just a ton, but in having a conversation about these coyotes that come against us from time to time, especially that people are saying thing, just a couple of new thoughts for folks out there today. The who is more important than the what. And that came as a realization to me as I was just talking through this with some folks. And I thought, wow, that really is important. We will oftentimes hear the what, but we really need to get to the bottom of who is the who in the situation.
Yeah, Alan, as you say that, there are a lot of times when those people that come to you ask them, well, who are the people that are saying, and they won't say, well, you know, I'm not supposed to say. It's like, well, then it's not that important then. You know, and you need to say to them, hey, if you're not willing to tell me, then I apologize, but I can't do anything about it. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I will venture that most of the time when someone comes to you and says, people are saying, look at them, start with them, because they're probably one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would venture that that's most of the time the case.
And so I agree, Alan. And I think one of the things that you need to be willing to say to them is, are you one of them? Is this from you? If so, we can talk. I'd love to talk with you. But, you know, they always want to put it off on somebody else.
And I think it's fair, too, to tell them, well, if you can't give me a name, then there's no discussion to be had. Mm-hmm. If there's no one willing to do this, and that's a biblical standpoint. If you've got a problem with someone, you're supposed to go to them directly. And so if that person can't do that, then that's a conversation that needs to take place, and it doesn't need to take place until that person is willing to do what needs to be done and have a one-on-one conversation with you about it. And so you have to kind of take a line in the sand approach. It's just like me, anonymous letters, they go straight in the trash. Mm-hmm. I don't give time to them, and you can't afford to do that. So if someone's not big enough to put their name on it, there's no conversation to be had. They're just trying to get under your skin. So Trent, one of the other things about this is to ask, what kind of person is it? Is it a critical person or an antagonist? Now, I don't think we like the category of either a critical person or an antagonist, but they are a little bit different. A critical person is someone who maybe they're just always on the doom and gloom side. Maybe they always see things from one perspective, but they're deep down a good person. An antagonist is an antagonist. They just want to stir up problems. And we have both in our churches, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as you get to know your people, this is one area where it's so important. And you may have been taught in seminary or somewhere, well, you know, you don't want to get real close to people because you may or may not be there a long time. And I think that really, in this area especially, has crippled us, because in this area, you need to get to know your people well enough to know the difference between a critical person an antagonist. You need to know them well enough to know, hey, this person is a deep thinker. this person really does have Jesus at their heart and the love of Christ, and they want the best for our church. And man, if that's the case, you want to listen to them. You want to be all in, and you want to say, hey, will you meet me at some other time so that I can really focus in, because I want to hear from you. Now, if they're just an antagonist, well, then, you know, if they have something to say that you can see, hey, this is something I really need to evaluate, then that's fine. But if not, then you can say, well, thanks for sharing, and walk away.
Yeah, antagonists are always going to be antagonists. That's just who they are. And in churches, sadly, there have been many antagonists who have run pastors out and have run church leaders out and continue to stir it up until there's a leader who's strong enough to kind of draw that line and force them into that, you don't have to go to church here situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what really needs to happen oftentimes with antagonists. They need to have their influence taken away from them. And that is quite different from someone who just thinks critically all the time. In fact, we can be better with critical thinkers, people who can see the flaws in some of our logic or some of our ideas and help us see what scenarios might unfold. Those people can actually prove to be a great asset and a great value to us. An antagonist, no, they just stir up strife. And the Bible has a lot to say about people who would like to be in that boat. And sadly, it seems like almost every church has at least one of those that they have to deal with and work with and ultimately move out. The what, on the other hand, you know, if the who is more important than the what does matter. And I think that the what usually involves a change or a perceived attitude. What do you think, Trent?
Well, yeah, as you evaluate, you know, where this message is coming from, the who part of it, it makes a difference on what the change needs to be, right? And as pastors, Alan, you and I, we've talked about this a lot. We're both ideas guys. We're, you know, the big idea. And sometimes we need those people who think critically. And that's not thinking negatively. It's just they're deep thinkers. That we need those people to balance us out and to show us the other side and help us think through the details, because we're big ideas guys, and sometimes we don't think through the details. And so when it comes to the what, that may involve, you know, help us to know what the change really needs to be. Is it a change in me? Is it a change in someone else? Is it an attitude change? I like to say the attitude adjustment, you know, like God hits me upside the head with a 2x4 sometimes. But yeah, we need to know that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just a change in how we do things. And those things always seem to stir feathers a little bit. And that perceived attitude, sometimes pastors, especially pastoral leaders, but church leaders know this about yourself as well. Sometimes we put off attitudes that people see in us that maybe not everyone sees us that way, but maybe some see us that way. And someone sees their pastor as being uncaring, or someone sees that they maybe have their favorites or whatever. There's always a perceived attitude that people are going to pick up regarding you. And those people are saying moments often come around some of those perceived attitudes. And you need to occasionally ask yourself, is there some truth within those attitudes? Is it a, you know, a truth that you can live with, or are there some things that you need to work on and develop in your own life and in your own ministry? So use it as a learning opportunity to learn more about yourself.
And also remember that sometimes we need to evaluate too, how good we are communicating this idea. Maybe it's something new that you want your church to do, and maybe you haven't thought through how is the best way to communicate it. I've been guilty of this several times when I've communicated in wrong way. I've chosen the wrong ways to communicate something, and it really bit me in the rear later on. And I needed to be able to go back and say, okay, I should have done these steps to communicate this idea better.
So those coyotes, they're not going anywhere soon. but there's not nearly as many as you think they are. And that's one of the things as we revisit those pesky coyotes, we want you to remember that people are saying is not something to think that your whole church is saying that, because if your whole church is saying it, it's going to be more than someone coming to you and say people are saying. You're going to have some pretty hard and concrete knowledge of what's going on. And so we want to encourage you to go back, listen to episode 10, catch some of the things we said on the first side. We hope we've added a little bit to that today to give you a little bit more information. Remember, the who's more important than the what, and that what usually involves a change or perceived attitude. And hopefully that'll help you deal with those coyotes in your life. And Trent, you got anything else you'd like to add today?
Man, I appreciate so much. You know, like you said, we've been doing this now for a year. Alan and I enjoy this so much, but we want to be able to speak to you, and we want to invite you to share with us topic ideas. You can go to enduringchurches.com, or you can go to our Facebook page and put a message to us. Let us know maybe a topic that you've been wondering about, or you think is you learned something about over the years that you think other pastors and other leaders need to know about. But also keep in mind that Alan and I want to do more than just the podcast part of it. We would like to walk beside you. We can do some consulting, some coaching for you. And so please contact us if we can help in that way as well. But thank you again so much for listening to us today. And we want you and your church to endure.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.